Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Welcome back to the Radioactive Ramblings podcast, the show where 3 buddies get together and ramble on about our favorite shows, movies, and we always struggle to stay on topic. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron.
I'm another one of the hosts, Chase.
And I am the third and final host, Richard.
And Lisa. Porter.
You can hang up the call now, Richard. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Got it, gang.
Before we get into the topic of today's episode, I just want to share a little bit about our Patreon. We have early and ad-free content out on our Patreon for pretty much all of our episodes. So if you're interested in supporting us and you like what we do here, go check it out. Chase, what are we going to be covering today?
Yeah, today's episode is going to be about Season 3, Episode 8 of Invincible, otherwise known as the finale of the season.
Yep. And this one was titled, I Thought You'd Never Shut Up.
They literally made it about me.
All the time.
They made it about me. It's crazy, guys.
When I was going through the outline and I added the title of the episode, I was like, oh, they're just going to all think I'm making fun of them. They're not going to believe me that that's the actual episode title.
Yeah, you should shut up now. I'm sorry. Yep.
No, get into your spiel, Richard. I'll shut up for you.
I'm going to get into my spiel. This is what I do on this podcast. One other thing before we get started, I'm going to let y'all know how to contact us. First of which is our email, radioactive@thelorehounds.com. And we have a channel set up in the Discord server from the Lorehounds for Radioactive Ramblings, or you could use the Invincible chat. We're pretty active in there too. You could send us a message, chat about the show. And we have a contact form, or you could leave us a voicemail at thelorehounds.com. We'd also appreciate a follow on our Blue Sky, Radioactive141, or our TikTok, Radioactive Ramblings. One last thing is we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you listen to our podcast. It just kind of helps other people find us and also gives us some feedback so we can make better content for you guys.
Yeah, because we do, I think being the finale of this season, this is a good time to say, like, whether you have criticisms for us or things that we're doing well, like, we'll take all of the feedback the same, and we appreciate you listening, whether you have comments or critiques or just want to be a part of the conversation. We're glad that you're here with us. So yeah, we really appreciate you coming in and joining us on this Invincible journey, which last week we were notably missing Chase over here. So before we get into our little recap, I did want to ask you what you thought about episode 7.
I thought it was great. I do wish they gave the Invincible War a little more like time, because like it's supposed to be over the course of 3 days, and I don't know, I feel like the episode kind of made it feel like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think they do a lot more in the comics, like fleshing it out a little bit. I don't know. I think it was a good episode for sure, though. Can't complain.
Yeah, I agree. Also, before we get into the reminder slash recap of this episode, just quick spoiler warning for the entirety of Invincible on Amazon Prime. We're not going to be spoiling anything from the comics unless we give you fair warning. So,
yeah, I might talk about the comics a little bit, but we'll definitely like say something before we just spit it out, you know?
Yeah. So from here on out, if you have not seen Season 3, Episode 8 of Invincible or any of the prerequisite episodes, you might want to skedaddle on out of here and rejoin us when you've done that. But without further ado, I will be refreshing everyone's memory. Chase has assigned me the honor this week. Conquest, a brutal and seasoned Viltrumite warrior, arrives on Earth to assess Mark's loyalty to the Empire. Disappointed by Mark's continued defiance, he initiates a devastating fight. The battle is relentless, spanning multiple locations and leaving massive destruction in its wake. Conquest overwhelms Mark with his sheer strength and experience, pushing him to his absolute limits. As the fight escalates, Adam Eve arrives to assist Mark, and she pushes her abilities to the breaking point, showcasing new levels of power. Despite sustaining critical injuries, she manages to deal a powerful blow to Conquest, momentarily turning the tide of the battle. And now the Viltrumite threat looms larger now than ever before.
Yeah, let's talk about the fight real quick, gang. The beach scene. What the fuck?
Oh, where Mark got like the Chicago the subway treatment. 2.0. Yeah.
Like
I was gonna say.
They just love making shit go crazy.
Yeah, I think it was definitely an intentional mirror of the first season with that train scene, and then also maybe a little bit of a hint as to where Nolan learned that trick from.
Yeah. Conquest, though, phenomenal.
Yeah, you like Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Conquest?
I loved Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Conquest. Oh my god. No glaze.
Me and Aaron talked about it a little bit. It's like, why were people hating on him, man? I feel like his voice acting was so good.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit at the end of last week, and it's just like the Chronically Online people who are like, no, I need it to be my sound just like my AI voiceover of Conquest with the singular panel. I need to sound exactly like that every single time.
Yeah, it's like, how can you be a hater after hearing him for 30 seconds? And then this episode came out, and I swear, all of the people who were hating after episode 7 all changed their tune, and they were all on board with Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Conquest.
Oh, by the way, the blood bubble heart moment was exclusive to the show. That was not in the comics.
I think there were a lot of... Not a lot, but there was
plenty of things with the Conquest fight that was exclusive to the show, and I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, from what I saw, like the "I'm so lonely" like monologue.
Yeah, that whole monologue exclusive. Is not in the comics.
And I know Robert Kirkman has stated like he's working with the writers and the animators to like.
Yeah, they're doing like they're making like a new script for the show. They're basically like. Yeah. Redrafting the story, which I appreciate honestly, because I've kind of talked about this in the Discord a little bit, but I think there's a lot of parts of the comics that felt pretty rushed and some main story arcs that felt a little written a little poorly, but and like I think I've been kind of talking about it through our episode reviews that I just think like this show is going to be a better rendition of the series or like better adaptation.
I really appreciate when these types of shows involve the writers and basically give them a chance to have a do-over of their material. Like, if you could change anything, if you could make the story better, what would you do? And I really like that.
Well, yeah, it's like getting the Boys treatment. Like, the Boys comics
are wildly different, and they are awful
in comparison. Or maybe not even in comparison. Maybe they're just flat-out awful?
No, they're, like, objectively bad. In comparison, they're like...
The show is peak, show obviously, is peak, and I love that, because there are definitely like some changes that need to be made.
I think that at the end of this episode, like after we do our how we felt, we can have a little comics discussion and talk about what we think is happening or what they're gonna
After we finish how we feel and before we get into the intro, we can have like maybe a little bit of a spoiler talk about like what we think is going to happen. Maybe I'll talk about the comics a little bit, but not give away too much.
Yeah. Which, right. Okay. I want to make a quick point here because this has been really bothering me. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
All the people online who have read the comics before, you got to stop like spoiling it in the TikTok comments. Like you're kind of going overboard with this.
Or like the fan base for this show. Spoiler warning TikToks that are just like comic panels of things that haven't happened yet or something right. like that.
There's just tons of people getting a kick off of ruining it.
For me, it doesn't bother me with the Invincible stuff, obviously, because I've already read it all. But like for other series, I really hate that. Like, I think if you're going to do something that's talking about like a fairly new project, right? Spoiling it. Like, you gotta put, like, a spoiler warning or at least make it, like, three swipes deep or something. Like, yeah. I don't know.
You know, I'm not even bothered by the actual TikToks where people are just talking about the comics and you get spoiled because they're talking about something that they've been fans of for a long time and, you know, maybe I'm not the intended audience, so it's whatever. But all of the folks just commenting in regular
like, oh, they're like, this yeah. person's dead, this person's dead, this person's
yeah.
dead.
Yeah,
this person's evil, this person's dead. I'm like, all right, thanks for that one. You know?
Well, okay, well, to be fair, though, we already have instances where people who are dead in the comics are not dead in the show now. So it is right. completely possible that all of those choices are different. Like, obviously the major ones will probably stay the same.
Yeah, like, but Rex still exploded, but
yeah, Rex still explode. Yeah, exactly. But you know who didn't? Shrink Ray. And Shrink Ray's a girl in the show, so hey.
And wasn't Omnimark supposed to die last episode, but he got stranded instead?
No.
Oh,
but oh, wait, yeah, you're completely right. Yeah, sorry, okay. I was thinking of a different...
Were
yeah,
you thinking of sorry. Viltrumite, Mark?
Yeah,
like the
exactly.
prison one?
Yes, yeah. exactly.
Yeah.
How did you know? Wait, that was kind of...
Well, because that's, like, in the same, like, vein, you know? They're still, like...
Dude, wait, this guy connected my dots. What the heck?
Dude, we're just interlinked. We're like that.
Interlinked. Sorry.
Interlinked. No, but what I wanted to say earlier about the spoilers thing is, like... The worst part of it, though, is when people post spoilers, like, immediately after something comes out. I remember when the finale of Stormlight Archive came out. I know. I'm sorry. I got spoilers, like, 2 or 3 days after the book came out from the very end. This book is 1,400 pages long. How do you do that? How do you spoil something like that quick in a book that long?
I have no clue. I just remember yeah. when Severance came out, since I was waiting to get back here to watch it over spring break this week.
Yeah.
I didn't open TikTok at all because I was worried I was going to get it spoiled because I've been recently, like my whole TikTok For You page is just like all like Severance, like theories and discussions right now.
Yeah.
I did get it spoiled for me a little bit. I know. I got the big scene with Mr. Milchick in that episode spoiled yeah. for me.
I will
really
get on Severance one day, I promise.
Dude, you have to get on it. That show is actually so good.
I've got okay. three seasons got, left of
Richard,
Dexter. No, and I've been grinding. Okay,
Richard, I've
probably
got homework for you right now, okay?
I'll be on it in like 2 weeks, okay?
No, before this Friday when the finale comes out for season 2, I expect you to be caught up.
That's crazy. I'll be watching Dexter.
Oh man, you're gonna Dude. Be mad that you missed out on this cultural monolith.
Didn't you miss out on AOT when it came out?
Yeah, but that came out like over the course of 20 years, so
yeah,
I don't know.
It did come out over the course of like an actual decade.
It did take forever. Yeah, I was glad I started watching when I did because I started in COVID. I finished season 3, and then like 3 months later, season 4 was on the way, so I didn't have to worry. But
I'm glad that I watched it. I'm glad that we're here. Richard, you were telling me something, and Chase was telling me this too, that there was only like 10 animators working on this show. That's so impressive.
Yeah, on Invincible, yeah.
I'm with what you said before we started, Aaron. Like, I will never... Granted, I didn't really ever say too much about the animation being not great, but, like, I will never say anything bad about the animation unless it's directed at Amazon, like, the higher-ups. The animators are doing their jobs.
I mean, like, I'm definitely going to complain about it, but, like, I also think that they're not being rewarded as they should be.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to put it on the animators.
I'm putting it on, like, the production, not the animators.
Well, yeah. Sure. I mean, they work for Amazon. Like, come on, yeah, they got exactly. The funds.
Like, 10 people getting that beautiful episode out alone was crazy. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I still hate, though, I've seen people, and sorry for cutting you off, Aaron. Just one second. People are bitching about, like, there's a singular frame where Conquest has two eyes.
Oh, I know what you're talking from a different angle.
And people are like, what the hell is this? How the fuck do you, like, stuff like that, how do you notice it? It is a frame or, like, three frames.
Yeah, you're definitely, like, cherry picking at that point. Like, come on.
That shit pisses me off so much.
If you watched the show as intended, you would never recognize that.
Yeah, like, one in a million chance you happen to pick out that the 10 pixels that make up his eye actually have a fucking iris there for one frame. Like,
because you paused it to take a dookus and came back and realized it was there or something.
Oh, I did do that, actually. Yeah, how'd you know?
I just did a quick Google search here, and I don't know how accurate this information is, but typically a major studio action-oriented animated television show that's making 20-minute episodes.
It's like 30 animators.
Yeah, it says anywhere between like 20 and 50 animators. And these are 40-minute episodes and very like heavily action-based.
For like the average anime, it's like 30 animators per episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like half the runtime of an episode. But I mean, it is like double the amount of episodes. But still, it's three times the workforce. Like,
yeah, right. I also hate people who like compare a lot of mainstream anime that have good animation, because the thing is, those animators don't see their families. Like, the working conditions are so awful.
Yeah, exactly. They get paid like fucking, isn't it like 60 cents a frame or something crazy?
I don't
like,
even want to know how
they get,
bad
they
it
get
is.
Paid per like frame they draw.
That's insane.
Crazy.
That's insane. Is that like the industry norm, or is that just
that's
a few...
the industry standard in anime at least?
That's awful.
Well, yeah, it's terrible. The only well-paying like mainstream anime, I mean obviously there are others actually, of course, but like the only one that's like very commonly known for it is One Piece, because Oda, the guy who made it, pays them himself. But he like makes you like sign this thing. He's like, you literally have to like sacrifice your life for this industry. But if you die or whatever of overwork, I'll make sure your families are like okay and like taken care of. And it's like, that's such a crazy work culture. Like, that's
yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of these numbers because now you have me curious, and just wow. It's kind of shocking how much work these animators put in to be paid so little.
Especially for how much GDP and, like, money they bring in, too. Like,
yeah.
With those shows and those series, dude, like, are you kidding me? They make millions. Those shows make literally tens of millions of dollars.
Right. Well, if you take anything away from this podcast, it's that animators need to be paid a little bit better, because that's
actually,
just...
dude.
Yeah. They do such amazing work.
Like, I wonder, what's, like, a Disney animator's salary or whatever?
Probably much more than...
Do you want to search it up really quick?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's definitely much more, but it's probably still, like, so
it's still underpaid, yeah.
Can be anywhere, depending on, like, how long you've been in the industry, what all of those different factors. Anywhere from about $44,000 a year to $250,000 a year. I would imagine that the $44,000 figure is a lot more common than the 200.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because those movies make like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah. And thinking about how much money not only goes into that part of it, but like the marketing budget, the toys, all of the different merchandising. Dude, the toys,
that's where they get so much money.
They make much more on the toys than they do on any of that, I believe. Yeah. On the actual...
That's where like most of like kids' stuff makes their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, we need to start an unethical company and make millions of dollars.
That's what I was thinking.
Shouldn't do that. Come on, guys.
Well, we're gonna make you animate everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll get right on it, boss.
Which one of us gets to freeze our head?
What? Oh, Walt Disney, right? That's all up to you, dog. Have fun.
Do we want to get into interesting moments, guys?
Yeah,
please.
All right.
Chase, do you want to start us off?
I'll start us off. I was kind of interested by Mark and Cecil mending their relationship a little bit. Obviously, Mark was like, hey, I'm not fucking working for you. Like, we clearly have a very big difference in our moral standards, and that's going to put a line in the sand between us. But, like, obviously, they're going to call each other up when there's a big hoopla going on. And I think that was mature of both of them to be able to be like, you know what? We need each other for the greater good.
Right. And when stuff is going wrong for Mark and Eve is laying there dying, who does he call out for? Cecil.
Yeah, he's begging for Cecil so Cecil can show up after the party's over.
Right. Yeah. What was Cecil's response time on that? You know he was watching them, right? Like, there's no way.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why didn't they just pull up while they were fighting? I don't understand that.
Just get Eve the hell out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like the second Eve went down, he should have just teleported in and grabbed her and teleported out, no?
Yeah, maybe he knew about her mental blockers and the fact that she had the facilities to heal herself.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe Cecil was just being a little silly. You guys ever think of that?
Maybe.
I mean, there's also just the entire possibility that he was scared if he sent anyone in, Conquest was going to one-tap them.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, because he definitely showed off that he was stronger than Nolan, and Nolan almost beat out the teleporter.
See, Chase asked me the other day if I thought Nolan or Conquest was stronger, and I don't know. I truly would think it's Conquest, but I don't know. The way that Mark got so beat down by both of them, and he's so much stronger now, it just... The power scaling in this universe doesn't really make much sense unless we're explicitly told or shown who's more powerful than who.
Right. I fully believe that Conquest could beat Omni-Man, though. I think that he's been through way more... I mean, like, he is their top subjugator for planets. I think that there's...
What about the Great Nolan?
The Great Nolan? Yeah, but that's the thing. With the whole, like, I'm so lonely, I only get a single, like, purpose, and that it, I don't
but
even get a name.
But don't you notice the difference between how they do their job? Nolan does, they both do their job for the Empire, but Nolan does his as a duty, and Conquest does it out of pleasure.
I suppose you're right.
Nolan beat up his son and then had a fucking, like, mental crisis and almost killed himself. Conquest came and licked Mark's ear while telling him how lonely he was.
Yeah, that was some freaky shit. Conquest was on something. That's why I think, though, because Conquest loves the fight so much more, he goes out and seeks more intense fights and gets stronger. I think that he is definitely stronger than Nolan because of that, but I think that there's someone who can top Conquest for sure, probably the leader of the Viltrumite Empire.
Yeah, I'm sure that when we get into our comics spoiler section, we'll talk about him a little bit, because that's a big upcoming plot point.
Yeah.
But anything else, Chase?
Yeah, I was a little interested by the moment when Mark said any upcoming threats to the people he loves were he was going to take it seriously and kill them.
Oh, man, when he says that to Oliver, too, like...
Yeah, dude.
Broke my heart a little bit.
I mean, like, at the same time, I do kind of understand it.
Yeah, I don't think that Mark is in the wrong.
He's had some crazy run-ins recently. He's not in the most stable headspace, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we don't in real life, with governmental organizations, militaries, they don't really hesitate when it comes to threats, especially when it comes to national security or what's important to the country. And you see Mark adopting that mindset, the Cecil mindset, a little bit. And it's a little disappointing to see Mark going that direction, because he's been so idealistic throughout this whole series. And I don't know. Even though it's
Mark's
not the craziest
probably
thing.
Taking like a more understanding stance of his power on Earth as the strongest being protecting it, is I think he's realizing more that like if there's someone he's having trouble handling, they're truly going to be a threat to anyone else.
Did you just call Mark the strongest being on Earth when the immortal exists? You're a joke, dude.
Up about the mortal, dude. Get him out of here.
Dude, I had no clue who you were going to say, dude. I was like, what is bro all about?
Yeah.
I didn't say he was the strongest being on the planet. I said he was the strongest being protecting it. Remember, immortal retired.
Oh my god. Shut up. Shut up.
He's done enough.
I hate the mortal. I hate him.
I've given too much.
No, when he said that, I wanted to hit him. It was actually so ridiculous.
You would probably win the fight too. No powers.
Punch his head off, and then it would hit duplicate.
I play Fortnite with like some of my friends from my old job here and there. Don't worry about it. I did buy
the back bling.
The back bling and the Mark
too.
Skin. I have Omni-Man skin as well. I love playing Mark, though, and then I just have the mortal's head up. Because, you know, he did it now, too. So it fits in the lore.
Kind of.
What do you mean, kind of? It was the future immortal.
I don't think that the immortal's head was even fully reattached to his head when he quit the Guardians. I definitely got that guy in a fight.
He did have, like, the collar on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was still regrowing.
Too much.
Like, I guess you've given quite a bit, but none of it was helpful, so...
Yeah, maybe just start winning fights, and then you can say that.
You know, if he really was Abe Lincoln, nothing would have ever gotten done by Abe Lincoln, so I know that that's not true. That wasn't the real Abe Lincoln.
That was the imposter.
It was the imposter. But anyways, Richard, what were some interesting moments you took note of?
Well, I said earlier, but really it's just about Conquest, both of them. Conquest was phenomenal. He was threatening. I know we already talked about this, so I'm really going to keep it nice and short, but just they did a fantastic job portraying him and adding those extra lines of dialogue. It definitely gave the character some more depth. And that's really all I got.
How'd you like his fist?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I'm wondering if we get to like a little backstory on that maybe later about like what
in
happened.
In the comics, it's like a little bigger. It's like a Hellboy fist.
Yeah.
It's oversized.
It's massive.
I kind of wish they did it in the show. But yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with you that they should have done the bigger one, but I think that he was fantastic.
Speaking of Hellboy, we got our reintroduction to the
to Damian
Devil the
Dark Blood.
And that was not in the comics, if I'm not mistaken.
Hopefully they get Doc Seismic back in action.
Oh, I love Doc Seismic. He's so epic.
Has Doc Seismic been in every single season? I feel like he has, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. But Damian's been missing for quite a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think in the comics, Omni-Man killed him already.
Yeah. Hmm. Since this is something that wasn't in the comics, what do we all think he's talking about when he says that he found like the strongest being?
Mark's body.
Mm.
I think he's talking about like one of the I think he's talking about Conquest, and it's not going to go well because Conquest is still alive.
I think that Mark is an intentional misdirection, and that it's going to be something really ridiculous and like not helpful to them.
Donald's body.
Donald
might have some of the strongest abilities.
In the comics, Donald kills one of the Invincibles on his own.
Really?
Cyborg mode, yeah.
He is kind of the GOAT.
Like, I know it's very heavily implied he helped kill one in the show, but, like, in the comics, he kills one on his own.
Yeah, I think that they just didn't have the budget to animate that, otherwise they would have included it.
Yeah.
But... Hmm. What did y'all think about the reanimate? Richard, that was your theory. That
was my theory. I guessed that last week when we recorded, and I remember I texted you in like all caps, like, "Oh my god, I was right. Let's go." I was happy.
What's gonna happen with them?
I think they're gonna be Conquest security guards for now, but once Conquest inevitably breaks out, because there's no way he stays in that fucking cell. Once he inevitably breaks out, they're going to become, I don't know, like, pseudo-guardians, maybe? Or like, Cecil's fucking guard dogs? I don't really know.
Yeah, I think that the regular reanimate are more like the guard dogs, and this is going to be Cecil's kill squad. Like, elite Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Just taking down anything. But, Chase, you've said before that the reanimate aren't a part of the comics at all?
No, I did not say that.
Oh, I don't know where I thought I heard that.
Why are you lying, dude?
Okay, never mind. Ignore me. I don't know why I've thought this whole time that the reanimate weren't in.
If I did say that, I did not. That's not what I meant, at least. The reanimate are in the comics, and so are the invincible reanimate.
Okay. So that's coming up.
Or the reanimarks, as they're called.
Reanimarks.
I thought it was really funny how Cecil was talking to D.A. Sinclair when he was like, "You see what's happening, right? You need to hurry the fuck up. We don't have time for this. I don't care how you do it."
Sinclair's like, "Fuck, we can't order Chinese and watch a movie or some bullshit."
Do we know who voices D.A. Sinclair now? Because I know that they changed
it. Used to be Ezra Miller. I don't know anymore, though.
Should we go into how we feel?
I still have to do my interesting moments.
Oh. But you're not very interesting.
Very interesting. Nor am I very interested in anything that happened this episode. I thought it sucked.
Oh my god, go back to doing your William cosplay.
Listen. I'm sure I could recreate the fit with what's in my closet. I just don't have the bowling skills.
You might be able to do it with what you're wearing, bro.
He does dress the exact same way as me, just like a pair of jeans and a t-shirt everywhere. Yeah. A v-neck t-shirt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can't not talk about how immediately after going into his whole "I'm so lonely" spiel, he starts trying to stretch Oliver out like a rubber band. Conquest was crazy for that one. No wonder
he hasn't... beat down coming up.
Yep.
Everyone else.
What was that noise at the end?
I think that the YouTube video that I pulled the audio from added a little extra sound effect in there for shits and giggles.
Put some Business Baby in there.
Dude, Business Baby could solo Battle Beast.
Business Baby is coming back next season, you saw?
Dude, Conquest is lucky he didn't pull up a day or two earlier, because then he would have had to fight Business Baby.
That's why he was waiting, honestly. He was just chilling on the moon until Business Baby got taken out by that evil bastard Mark Grayson.
It's all fun and games until Rihanna Business Baby is coming in next season.
Dude, he had some moves.
Yeah, he did.
You saw the way he was moving. It was just pure luck that Mark was able to take him out.
Then he got turned into paste.
Bro's got motion. That's all we needed to see.
how stupid do you have to be to like get on that thing's back and do all your tricks? And like, you know, you're gonna get crushed. I feel like that's just, you know, you're gonna get
that's
crushed.
That's poor planning.
Like,
you know, you're gonna get crushed.
Bro, all it took was him being flung across the street, and Business Baby is a puddle underneath Monster Boy.
A puddle, a fine beast, even.
Chill on Business Baby, bro.
I can't believe you're slandering our goat right now, dude. Almost as bad as the time you said Immortal wasn't the best hero in the Invincible universe.
I mean, it's tied between the Immortal and Duplicate for sure for best
no,
hero.
No, 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 it's Business Baby.
You can think that, but Rihanna Business Baby clears.
I think the Business Baby combo with his like green guy could beat Immortal.
With his green, yeah, any like anything on them, Chase? Do we know anything else about them, or is it just Business Baby and the green guy?
I don't remember anything about them, if they're in the comics or not, and okay, if they do anything other than Business Baby fucking doing tricks on it.
Okay. Maybe don't say that.
Invincible.
He was literally doing tricks on that guy, bro. Like, I don't know what to say.
Background information. Oh, there's no way that thing, the guy that he's like riding around on, guess what his name is?
The Blob.
Big Mildew.
Big
this is not true. This is not. Aaron is spreading big. I'm looking.
Wait,
this up
are they
right
in the
now
comics? Search a Business
oh,
Baby
no
comic, or like
no,
is Invincible Business Baby comic?
I think that they're a show only thing, but they were in episode 3 of the first season, and they were in episode 7 of the third season, and those were the only two times they showed up.
Business Baby was not in the comics.
Dang.
Business oh, Baby yeah, was Business present Baby at the Guardians of the Globe funeral.
Yeah. That was season 1, episode 3,
Business
wasn't it?
Business Baby was?
Yeah, Business Baby was apparently at the Guardians funeral.
Oh, and he was held
he was
in
born?
The... He was also being held by Doc Seismic earlier in this season.
I love the background details that they throw in here. It's too funny.
Well, yeah, there's also like an off-brand Saitama from One Punch Man.
Yeah, they do a lot of good parodies in this. I wonder why they decided to pair up their... Oh god, what's that Alec Baldwin movie with the Business Baby? The real Business
Boss
Baby?
Boss Baby?
Boss Baby, thank you. sorry. Like, why did they pair up him with Big Mildew? What?
Dude, I still... You remember that time we did White Elephant?
Yes.
I still have my Boss Baby 1 and 2 pack.
I forgot that. Didn't... Was I the one who bought the Boss Baby 1 and 2?
I don't, or was that I don't know else? Who bought what, but I have that, and then I also have like a cocoa melon thing still
dude
from that.
That's a fitting
you
gift
and
for
Business
you
Baby would get along, bro.
Oh, we would, totally. He's my slime.
No, his well, slime is Big Mildew.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not Big Mildew. You're not Big Mildew.
I strive to be Big Mildew, all right?
When does he become Business Boy and not Business Baby?
5 years old.
At what age?
Well, it won't matter. True. He isn't
he
living to see
splattered
tomorrow.
He literally did get splattered.
Yeah. That Mark also saw the future.
Dude, that was actually such a good line, though.
I know. Dude, I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how fast you are. I can see the future. You don't live to see tomorrow. Crazy.
That was a pretty cold line, I can't lie.
Then he put yeah his forehead to the back of his skull.
Yeah, that... Oh my god, what an insane way to kill Conquest.
I'm cashing in my points about Eve being able to control living matter. Well, I mean, she's got those blockers on her, so she can't do it all the time. But I do think that my theory was at least partially correct.
Yeah,
so
the thing about that is Kirkman kind of talked about this when he was writing the series, is that like he didn't really know how to write Eve's powers, so he like did like the cop out like mental block thing.
Yeah, that's yeah fine.
That's fair enough. I'm fine with her only being able to use those crazy powers in dire situations.
Which, like, kind of explains why she's kind of a little uninventive with her regular powers.
Right.
Like, you just didn't know what to do with them. Because, like, it's such a cool concept, but I do understand how it would take a lot of time and effort to come up with what she's doing in every fight with a power that's literally just, like, matter manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could have her doing anything and everything, but then you have to worry about, like, does this fit the character's aesthetic? Does this fit what they would actually be doing? And then I also like the explanation that they gave when she was making the air dense, which, you know, Chase, you and I talked about this earlier, but they gave that explanation of how she got so winded so fast. So it's clearly taking a lot out of her.
Oh, yeah. Clearly she doesn't do crazy shit like that all the time because, like, I mean, it basically, like, put her out of the fight, like, immediately. She got tired really fast.
Right.
Yeah. So we know that she's capable of more, but it just takes a lot out of her, or she has to be on the verge of death to do the organic matter manipulation.
Did you think she was dead?
No. I knew that she was not going to die. I feel like this is one thing about this show that bothers me a little bit, which I don't
it
like
takes
to focus
a lot
on the
to
things
kill someone.
Yeah, there's not, nobody ever really dies in this show, and it bothers me a little bit that no one really dies.
Right.
Like, it's fine. I'm not gonna be a hater about it. I don't want to talk about it at length, but it does feel a little bit like with characters like Angstrom Levy, for example, just keep getting defeated over and over and over again on the brink of death. Or you have Mark, who's on the brink of death about a million times. To me, it just feels like it would be more natural to have them get the shit beat out of them pretty significantly instead of being, like, beaten to death point.
Okay, but one thing about the Mark thing, to be fair, they haven't really talked about it yet, so, I mean, I guess we can... Let's just warn everyone, this is kind of like a comic spoiler about the Ultramite's DNA. So, like, skip ahead a little bit, but I'm about to go into it. Ultramite cells, Aaron, I don't know if you know this either, Richard, but what's so crazy about them is their adaptability. During a fight, their cells and their DNA will adapt to the fight.
Right.
They will change and enhance to, like, be better and stronger. The baseline Mark is technically not as strong as Mark, like, in a battle.
Right. Interesting.
When they're on, like, the verge of death and stuff like that, like, their cells will adapt. Like, it is very easy for, like, a Viltrumite that's, like, disemboweled to, like, survive.
Yeah, I figured that they can survive pretty much most things, but it's good to have that explanation. I'm surprised they haven't gone into that yet, because it feels like they aren't keeping too many secrets about the Viltrumites anymore.
Yeah,
right.
I'm surprised Omni-Man didn't talk about it to Mark.
Yeah, it could just be the type of thing that the series isn't going to directly address, but it's just going to kind of be implied or a part of the mechanics in the background.
Right.
That's really interesting. I'm glad that
it's kind of like why Mark is able to, like, be in the lava and stuff like that. Like, his cells are, like, while he's in it, they're adapting to be able to be in it. It's
yeah.
We need to get Eve on her laser beam shit again, because she was cooking Conquest just a little bit.
Yeah, whipping out a Kamehameha, a pink one. Come on, come on. Let's see that again.
That shit was pretty gas. It was like the Majin Buu Kamehameha.
Yeah, I want to see that
the
again.
The what?
Don't worry about it.
Dragon Ball, you wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't. I didn't watch Dragon Ball growing up very much.
I just remember watching that one, like, really awesome Tien edit with 3 Days Grace playing over it. That's what started my... Yes, and it's got, like, I Hate Everything About You playing over it.
Where he
oh
turns
my
a
God.
Triangle into a square.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't really have anything else to say about this episode in particular if we want to get into our how we feel, and then we can have a little comics discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Chase, you want to start us off? Do the honors?
Sure. all in all, I'm very pleased with this episode, and honestly, from a storytelling perspective, the season as a whole. Now knowing that there were only 10 animators working on this, I'm actually quite happy with the way it turned out. Before I get into talking about the season, though, I do want to say that this episode was just beautiful, and the fight was so well done. They do a good job of truly portraying Conquest's overbearing strength and Mark's human spirit. As someone who had read the comics, this did not disappoint. I'm going to give this episode a 9 out of 10. The season did such a good job developing characters and previewing the Viltrumite threat. Obviously, I wish the animation had been better, but now knowing what I do, I can't deduct too many points from that. So definitely going to be a solid 8 out of 10 for me.
I agree with that ranking pretty closely. Despite all the hate that I've seen for the animation this season, I was really remaining faithful that they would pull out the big guns for this finale. And I gotta say, I wasn't disappointed. I think that me and Chase and probably Richard are of the same mind on this one, that the animation was kind of crazy in this episode. They really put their all into it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, just split-second thing. Yeah. Impact frames were insane in Invincible. Fucking finally.
I mean, Mark's hair alone this episode.
Dude, yeah. What was he gonna do though? When he was like, "Wait, what was he gonna do? Surrender?" Like, no.
Every time that Mark was looking at Conquest and had his mouth like agape in shock at whatever Conquest was doing, I don't know why, but the way that they drew him with his mouth open made me laugh every time I saw it. I understand that these shows are working with really limited manpower and a limited budget, but despite all of this, they managed to not only deliver what I think is a highly entertaining season of television, but they also got us a finale that I think rivals the animation in season one's finale, which is a pretty high bar because I think that Invincible fans can agree that season one had the best animation in the series, and this came pretty close.
Oh yeah, season one had great animation.
Yeah, like through and through, not even just the fight scene. Yeah. Season one definitely had a higher budget and more animators.
Yeah.
But as always, the voice work is just stunning. I can't believe how much energy and talent goes into this show. Every single voice actor, Steven Yeun, Walton Goggins.
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh, thank you.
For our goat, Debbie.
Sandra Oh. Who else is in this cast? Like, everyone is in Invincible, I feel. It's
J.K.
Rowling.
Holy
J.K.
shit.
Simmons. J.K. Rowling.
What?
J.K. Simmons.
Holy
sorry.
Crap, bro.
But yeah, the voice talent, incredible as always. And I do think that this season served as more of a transitional period for a lot of these characters. But sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need a good transitional season, and I would give this a really solid 8.5 out of 10, and thought that the last two episodes really just stood miles above the rest and probably brought this season up a full point in my mind.
Yeah,
that's ungrievous.
Oh my god, all right, Rusty Susan, calm down. My like how we feel is definitely shorter, but I'm just gonna keep it nice and concise. This has been my favorite season finale so far. They pulled out all the stops for the animation. It was phenomenal. Still not better than season one, but that's obviously given the lack of staffing, really. And Amazon could do better. But the voice acting, as Aaron and Chase both said, it was fucking phenomenal. I think it was some of the series' best as well. And I don't know. I just think they killed it. I'm excited to see what's next for the episode. I give it a solid 9.5 out of 10. It might be my favorite of the series. And the season for me is a solid 9 out of 10 as well.
I don't know if you heard, but next season they're replacing Mark's voice actor. It's going to be Ethan Slater.
Shut the fuck up. Why
I don't
is
know
there
who
a picture
that is?
Mildew man? Yeah. The big Mildew.
Where? Oh my god. Big Mildew. Wow, well, what a character.
Speaking of Big Mildew, folks, if you have not read the comics, you don't want anything comics related spoiled for you, now's a good time to dip out. We thank you so much for joining us this season, and we are definitely going to be back for season four, unless something crazy happens. And we have other
Aaron dies or coverage. Something.
Right, which you never know. Things
You're
happen
on
every
the
day.
Brink, buddy.
Closer than you think. You don't know my time limit. But anyways, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And we will be beginning our comics discussion. But first, let's take a quick break.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
And we are back for our comics discussion of Invincible. And let's start off with our resident comics expert. I'm going to leave things up to Chase to start us off for this comics discussion.
I do just want to say one fight I'm super excited for if we're talking comics. Chase, Battle Beast versus Thrag.
Yes. Ooh.
Yes.
It's going to be crazy.
Sick. I know. Trust That's me. That's pretty dude. Sick. That's one of the most contentious fights that is debated in the Invincible community.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea.
Because people still argue who's stronger.
Right, because there are definitely those fights where it's like someone just had the upper hand out of pure luck or whatever. And I'm
Do you want me to
something...
tell you how the fight turns out? And
I know who loses, unfortunately. And
I feel Battle Beast definitely loses that fight, no?
Thrag wears him.
Okay, so Battle Beast does lose, but what happens is basically Thrag gets ambushed by a different fighting force, right? I'm not going to spoil that, but he gets ambushed by a different fighting force, and then they send in Battle Beast, right? Battle Beast arrives, and he's like, wait, you're injured? So Battle Beast injures himself and then tosses away his weapons, and they have a 3-day fight to the death.
Okay, Jesus. So that's fucking crazy. I didn't know all that.
Basically, Thrag is heavily injured, and Battle Beast is like, oh, you're injured? Takes his sword and slashes his stomach open. His own stomach.
Okay.
And
nerfed himself.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's one of the most heavily debated fights in the... Because then they have a 3-day fight and Thrag kills him.
Lasting for 3 days, though, in that fight is insanity. That needs to be a whole episode unto itself.
Yeah,
just the
so,
two
like,
of them.
They're when it comes to power scaling, they're heavily debated in they're always paired up, right? Usually people will say Battle Beast or Thrag is 3 and then the other one is 4 in strength.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Interesting. How close are we to seeing
that
Thrag?
Fight?
No, yes, you can
Thrag?
Answer that too. But yeah.
Thrag is definitely next season.
Right.
But that fight is kind of, I would say, a ways away. Because there's at least one whole arc of shit that goes on before that, I think. I'm not gonna lie, my memory of the comics is kind of fuzzy. I know things that happen, and if you mention something, I'll definitely remember it, but I couldn't just relay to you every event in order.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's better for this podcast anyways. We don't need all of the details. I think that makes it a little bit better that there's been some time since you've read this.
I'm just thinking so Robert Kirkman said he wants there to be 8 seasons. Where do you think the Thrag and Battle Beast fight would fit in along 8 seasons?
Fudge, man. Probably 6 or 7.
Okay, towards the end.
I guess it could be 5.
It would have to be the end of 5.
Yeah,
though.
It would definitely have to later. I think it would be 6 or 7 actually. Because there's probably Yeah, because there's also that arc that happens too. Yeah, it would definitely be 6 or 7 for sure. If they're covering also like the 500 year time skip thing. But...
yeah, I'd assume they will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to see Thrag's army too on Thraxa. Yeah. What? Yeah. I think that's an insane army to have.
It is a insane way to form an army.
Is it just like a slave army?
Okay, so Thrag's army on Thraxa that he forms is, this is like kind of a crazy spoiler. Just everyone who's listening right now, if you don't want like crazy, crazy spoiler, like tune out. But this is like, so Thrag forms an army on Thraxa by just having sex with like all the female Thraxans and like has like a million kids. Or not like a million, but like a ton of kids.
Yeah. Because of how fucking fast they grow up.
Yeah, and then waits like 2 whole years for them to hit full maturity. Or no, I think it's 5 years. He waits 5 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's insane. He's on some fucking crazy shit.
Yeah. That's pretty scary.
You know, when you're that scary, gotta have a nice barber to back you up, I think. And he definitely does.
Well, yeah, you know, most of those kids are just protecting his barber, too, obviously.
Right, right. I think him and Nolan go to the same guy.
I don't know. I think now that Nolan's, like, excommunicated... not excommunicated, exiled.
No, that's a good term to use for him, I think. I think that's appropriate to say.
Fair enough. Now that he's excommunicated from the fucking empire.
John Wick, you're excommunicado.
He's lost all perks, including Thrag's barber.
Okay, later on, Nolan gets a sick mustache, by the way.
I've seen it.
He already has it.
But it's cooler.
No, but he gets a little bit more aura on top.
What does he get? Some handlebars?
I'm so excited to see Nolan develop, dude.
Also, since we're talking about comic spoilers, Nolan v. Conquest is like an extremely heavily debated topic too. Because in the comics, at least, there are a lot of like statements. Like they never really like fully fight. There's a lot of statements that imply Nolan is actually stronger than Conquest.
Really?
Yeah. Like in the show, they're like Conquest is like the strongest being they've ever encountered. That's what Cecil said or something like that. They never said that in the comic. In the comics, after Conquest is beaten by Mark, he later encounters Nolan and he says, this is like later in the series, so Mark is stronger, but he says you're like still stronger than your boy or something like that, or I don't remember the thing, but like he says like comments to him that implies that like Nolan is stronger than him.
Right.
We never get a full head to head or like anyone like outright just being like, yeah, one is stronger than the other.
Yeah. I have another question for you, because this is something I talked about last week that I was curious about, but obviously you weren't there. We missed you, but it's all right. Will we see more content of the Stranded Marks in that other universe? Okay. I want to see more of Sinister Mark.
There is going to be an arc. You are going to see a bit more of Sinister Mark.
Well, yeah, I figured there had to be, because like, I knew that that's what they called Cape Mark. I knew they called him Sinister. I knew there had to be a reason outside of the war, because even in like in the war and clips we've seen of him before, he was on some shit.
Yeah, but we're gonna see more of Sinister Mark.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let me just say, can we be done with the Sekwids?
Please. Yeah, we've been hanging on, we've been dragging them since the first season.
Like, I'm over the Sekwids. I'm sorry. I'm not in need of more of those little guys. Do we keep getting them, or is this going to be, like, it once and for all once we're done with this?
I think there's going to be probably one more episode that's just going to be Sekwid-focused or something.
Okay.
Which, I do agree. I do think it's one of the more boring villains to deal with, for sure.
I'm very happy that we got What's-His-Face Stretchy Dude out of that, but...
I love Shapesmith, dude. He's so silly.
His race car bed.
I wouldn't.
Sonic's race car bed, you mean? Same voice actor.
one thing that does, because I believe Nolan is stronger than Conquest, one thing that does go on to, like, kind of support that point is that later in the series, Nolan fights against Thrag and is able to arm him. And we know that from some stuff we learned in the series that Thrag and Conquest had a fight and Thrag, like, fucking one-tapped him. Like, didn't kill him, but, like, humbled him really badly. And not to say that he doesn't humble Nolan, but Nolan performs much better than Conquest.
Right.
I do think Conquest could also be suffering a little bit from his age.
It's actually the opposite, but the Viltrumite, the way that Viltrumite DNA works is that the older they get, the stronger they get, but the slower they also age.
Right, okay.
Conquest being older is technically better for him.
Do Viltrumites have adrenaline, or is that like a strictly human thing in the Invincible universe? Is that why Mark is so much stronger than... not so much stronger, but like...
That's why he's able to just kick it into high gear, yes.
Okay.
So, like, Viltrumites, obviously they can get, like, a rush of adrenaline and stuff like that, right? But, like, not in the way that humans do. So Mark's human DNA and his adrenaline is, like... It's not, like, specifically stated, but it is, like, heavily implied. And, like, that is, like, one of the biggest theories of the series is, like... That's why Mark is able to go head to head with these crazy top tiers at this point in time, is that the adrenaline rush, the rage he feels is like what's fueling. I mean, like, we see it too, is like when the Viltrumites fight, like, they're not very emotionally involved in it, right? Like, it's just.
Yeah.
Because they've always been the top of the food chain, they've always been the most undeniable power to exist.
Yeah, and I can remember, like, last season in the mid-season finale when Omni-Man and Mark were fighting Lucan and the other Viltrumites.
Yeah, and then Mark gets angry and he's, like, able to actually fucking put Thula in her place.
Yeah, he has that moment where Omni-Man's, like, starting to feel bad of seeing all the dead Thraxans, and Mark gets really pissed and he's like, this is how you should have felt on Earth. And that's when he really kicks it into high gear. So I kind of figured there had to be, like, something on the human side for that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just more proof.
Exactly, yeah.
I've noticed from season two to season three that Oliver's skin is, like, getting less purple. Am I just making things up, or is that an actual, like, thing that's happening? No, that's an
actual thing, too.
Okay.
By the time he gets to actual maturity, he's going to be like a regular human skin tone.
Yeah, right. Just Viltrumite.
Because his Viltrumite DNA is going to take over.
Right, because okay. It's like so pure or whatever Nolan said.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised you noticed that, I'm not going to lie.
See, the only reason I noticed that is because I got a TikTok that was Oliver in season one, and he was with their nanny that they hired from the Cecil spy lady.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he was, like, so dark purple, and he just wasn't in this season. So I was just wondering if that was in my head or if that was an actual plot point that they were going to go with.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't notice that at all.
And also with him aging so rapidly, is he just going to be like a 60-year-old man next to his 20-year-old brother? Like, that's going to be pretty funny.
I think it would start slowing him down, right?
Once he gets to, like, Mark's seemingly age, right? Like, seemingly physical age right now, is his Viltrumite DNA is basically going to take fully over, and he's going to, like, not age.
Okay. Interesting. Hopefully he gets to adopt a cool Viltrumite facial hair style. Like,
he actually does get a mustache.
Does he get the Nolan stash or the Thrag stash or anything?
Nolan stash, yeah.
Nice.
The Freddie Mercury stash.
That's awesome.
I love seeing those, like, on TikTok and Instagram, like, the stills of Thrag and, like, Mark fighting or whatever, and it's just, instead of whatever Thrag's actually saying, it's got fucking, like, Queen lyrics over it. Because he... He does kind of a little bit look like Freddie Mercury. I'll give him that.
He does. He looks like a...
Yeah, if he, like, fucking was The Rock. Like,
I was gonna say, well, yeah, buff if he Freddie was Mercury. Buffed up.
If Freddie Mercury ate John Cena, like...
Well, yeah,
Killer
I'm not
Queen
saying
on a protein shake.
I'm just that's a great one. I'm just saying there's like the slight similar more than slight similarities.
All of these Amazon shows really just have the same people on them. Not that I'm complaining, because I think that everyone that they've got, like between The Boys and Invincible, is a whole heap of talent, but there's a lot of repeated people between those two shows, between The Boys, Gen V, and Invincible.
Anyone have any, like, I don't know, fan cast for Thrag? Like, any idea who would be a good...
Ron Perlman?
Ooh. Dude,
I,
all right.
I fuck
that
with
would
that
be
heavy.
Awesome.
That's who I want.
Ron Perlman's good. See, now that you said it, I don't think I can come up with another one.
Yeah, I think that I have to jump on the Ron Perlman bandwagon. I mean, this podcast started as a Fallout podcast, so we can't not be hype men for Ron Perlman.
I mean, yeah. He's such a great voice actor. Like,
yeah,
he's a great actor, but his voice acting is just peak.
Yeah, in that like vein of another good casting, I feel would be like Josh Brolin could do a good job.
Yeah, definitely. I just don't want to hear Thanos.
Well, yeah, he'd have to, like, voice act and do a different, like, style of it.
Yeah, I like him as Thanos, but I can't say that I really am a big Josh Brolin fan, like, in the way that I would seek him out in anything or fan cast him in anything.
I get that.
He did a great job with Thanos, but I just...
And he was good in Dune.
Yeah, he was good in Dune. I don't know that his performance blew me away. Yeah.
Oh, true.
That's the dream. That's the dream. And honestly, I think J.K. Simmons, like, called him out by name and was like, I want him, too.
Oh, that's good.
J.K. Simmons, I think, has a lot of pull with the casting for this show.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, he's probably, I would say, him and Steven Yeun are, like, the best casts ever in voice acting. Steven Yeun's mark is so goated, and
Steven Yeun is so
good. Is so goated, bro. Like,
yeah,
I could not I could not imagine anyone else's voice as Omni-Man or Nolan, dude.
Well, yeah, I think even like if you just look at Omni-Man's design in the comics, tell me that is not a J.K. Simmons character. He's got the, he looks exactly like even like the animated versions of like J. Jonah Jameson. Like, come on, dude.
Chase, anything else rattling around in there in that skull?
It's pretty empty. The noodle's empty.
All right, folks, all of our noodles are empty.
The noodle.
So I think that we're gonna start moving into our outro. Chase, you want to start us off?
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining us for the Invincible Season 3 journey, and we hope you continue your viewership for the next season of Invincible and whatever we have next for you guys.
Which, speaking of what we have next, I think that Attack on Titan, we're going to do a few episodes for that. So stay tuned. Keep your ear to the ground. We'll probably be doing that. But before we let you go, we wanted to let you know about all the other wonderful podcasts in the network. There's a whole lot of talented people making awesome podcasts here. And first and foremost, we want to call out our parent podcast, The Lorehounds. They're the ones who make all of this possible, and they had a lot of great Oscar coverage coming out recently. They just started up with the new season of The Wheel of Time. That's a big one for them. There's a lot of Wheel of Time fans in the Lorehounds community, so definitely go check that out. Also in the network are excellent podcasts like Wool Shift Dust. Alicia and her co-host Luke cover Silo, and they just wrapped up the second season about like a month ago now. It's been a while. Wow. Okay. Time is getting away from me here. Also, Alicia has the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. Marilyn and her co-host, Dr. Sarah Brown, they've got their podcast, Rings and Rituals, where they go over ritual in the in your daily life, and also ritual in The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. So go check that out. Also, Properly Howard Movie Review, who right now they are teaming up with the Lorehounds. So John, David from the Lorehounds, and Anthony and Steve from Properly Howard, they're talking about Severance, which has its last episode coming out this Thursday. Big things are happening there. Go check them out. And of course, the newest affiliate, Nevermind the Music. Mark and Nicole have always got a lot of interesting things to say about music and psychology, and they do a lot of connections to pop culture music and older music. They did an episode recently on barbershop quartets, and that was really funny. It was interesting to hear them talk about all of these different a cappella forms of music, so definitely go check those out. And links to all of these, and also info on how to get a hold of us, it's all going to be in the show notes. So thank you all for joining us, and we hope to see you in whatever we're covering next. Thank you.
Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron reporting in.
Delta Squadron on your left.
Django Squadron on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.